Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Alec Mappa, here to introduce America's sister, the queen of show business, Lonnie Love.
Hello, Alec, how are you?
I'm good. I'm, like, stalking you on all media because it's award season here in Los Angeles, and you are in the trenches. You are on the red carpet talking to everybody. I know you covered the Golden Globes, and the Oscars are coming up. So
yes.
Do you have any Golden Globes dirt?
Oh, you know what? The Golden Globes were a wonderful event. That was my first time doing it. And
really?
I just want to highlight one particular performer, Emma Darcy from House of the Dragon.
Yes.
And you know, Alec, we only get 2 minutes maybe at most.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very nervous. And I knew that at the beginning. And so I told them, let's mm-hmm. take a breath. And we took a breath together.
Mm.
And then they gave me the best line out of all my interviews. I did 20 of them that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best line. Basically, they said, when I was starting out, I really felt like I had to present as a woman in order to find success in the industry. It wasn't sustainable, and I stopped pretending. And weirdly, at that point, I got nominated for Best Actress for the Golden Globes,
wow.
which is like beautifully ironic. And I just want to say the transparency that Emma gave me, I really appreciated it. I was almost in tears. They
yeah.
were almost in tears. And it was just a wonderful moment. And these are the moments that you can't script when
no.
you're on the carpet. And so I just wanted to give a big shout out to Emma Darcy from House of the Dragon.
That's lovely. I love that story.
They're going to be very successful. And if you notice, even on the carpet, I was really trying hard to make sure that I got the pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very happy that I did that.
Yeah, that's why you're America's sister. You do the homework. You care about people. First of all, I would be terrified to be in that room at the Hilton on Golden Globes night because all of show business is there. Steven
yes.
Spielberg,
yes.
Colin Farrell.
Yes.
I mean, did you see Colin Farrell?
I saw Colin Farrell. I got an interview with...
Did you get a moment?
Oh, that Irish love. I was trying to get the Irish stew recipe from him.
Yes.
Okay, and I have one more piece of showbiz news for our queens.
She's changing the subject.
I want to give it up a shout out to Jinx Monsoon, who is the first drag queen to perform in Chicago.
On Broadway. Made
on
her
Broadway.
Debut.
Yes.
Very own Jinx Monsoon.
Yes.
Went straight from doing their Christmas show on the road with Ben de la Creme to rehearsing to make their Broadway debut as Mama Morton in Chicago.
And this is why, Squirrel Friends, we're going to give you the Hollywood info. We're going to give you the Drag Race info.
The Broadway info. Everything.
Everything. And
everything.
So I wanted to give those two pieces.
Yeah.
And with that said...
Wait, I have one more question. Who, okay, because I know you're covering all, you had 20 interviews. Who knocked you out? Aside from Emma, which I love that moment because that to me says they made it by being their authentic self.
Exactly. I would have to say, other than Emma, Margot Robbie.
Why?
Because so confident, a leading woman, not just a leading actress, but a leading actor in movies. And the Barbie movie is coming out. And I was able to ask Margot, you know, is the Barbie movie, is it going to be like wild, like Babylon?
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, it's a little different. I was like, oh, okay.
Is it going to be like I, Tonya?
I know. So it's going to be a wonderful award season. But with that said, we have a wonderful season so far of Drag Race. This is episode 6.
Yep.
Tell us about these spoilers, okay?
Okay, listen, if you haven't seen the episode yet, warning, full warning.
Warning.
Spoiler alert. We are going to cover the Golden Gal Girl Group Maxi Challenge.
Ooh.
We're going to get twisted with the tie-dye runway. There's a really great moment where Sasha Colby talks about the trans experience in Hawaii. We have the lip sync and elimination. And then our special guest today is Amethyst. She's here to chat with us about all things drag. So stay tuned for that.
Now, this is season 15. So we have something new that the producers want us to do.
Yes. How are you sighing? I think this is kind of fun. All right, squirrel friends, it's time for 15 seconds to say. This is where Lonnie and I have 15 seconds to race and say all of our most important thoughts and takes on a topic given to us by our producers. It's season 15, and that means 15 seconds. So here we go. Now, after watching the little tiff between the queens over which group got the music they wanted, is there a proper way or fair way to get what you want, or do you just fight for it? Lonnie, you go first. Today, ready, set, say.
No, there's never. That's why sometimes God is giving you a reason. If somebody is fighting that hard for it, just let them have it. Because you'll see that they didn't need to have it in the first place, and there's a reason why you should have not had it. I don't know. Okay, it's your turn.
That's 15. Okay, ready, set.
Say.
There's a proper way to get you what you want, and I think that they did it. They did rock, paper, scissors.
No, it was out the hat. Oh, this does not work. The 15 seconds is up.
Oh, shit. I think they did the out the hat thing, but I was thinking rock, paper, scissors is how they should have done it, or a coin toss. I think that's the fair way when both people want something.
Squirrel friends, if you want us to say something about 15 seconds, that's correct. DM or message us your ideas at Alec Mappa on Instagram or at Lonnie Love on Twitter. We have to take a break because we got to get it together.
Oh, let's get it together. It came out of a hat. I did watch the show, I swear to God. We'll be right back after this.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. We said goodbye to Amethyst last week.
Sure did. And there was a little, you know, a lot of people were upset behind that. I still monitored Twitter and the fans, and they were a little upset about that. There was a little fun drama between Malaysia and Mistress. Now, what's going on there, Alec?
Because I think they're just being shady with each other the way drag queens are. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. They seemed really like, it was funny. Like, it seemed like they were both okay.
Really? Because I think Malaysia is kind of, she's
salty.
She's not salty, but she's taking it a little more seriously than Mistress. Mistress is very playful, and this is her love language, I think.
Right, right.
Whereas Malaysia's like, okay, it's going to get on my nerves. And so I'll be interested to see as further down the line.
Listen, if you're going to be dressed in drag, you got to have a sense of humor about yourself. So...
And sometimes you do have to stand up for what you believe in and have confidence in yourself. And if someone's shading you, you got to try to hit them back. I mean, I'm not really that type of Jonesy type of person. I'm not. Because I'm always worried about somebody's feelings. So I'm not really good at going back. Because if I go, I'm going to hit you at the jugular. You know what I mean?
I think if somebody deserves it, if somebody's been asking for it, if somebody's been given like, hey, easy.
Right.
You know, I've been married for 20 years, and there are days where my husband and I, you know, kill each other with whatever shady comments we have. And there are other days where it's like, I'm a little sensitive today. So easy.
Yeah. Then you let somebody know. I can take that, you know.
Yeah.
So RuPaul pops into the workroom wearing, looks like he went into Ross Matthews' closet in Palm Springs.
He's wearing a Palm Springs cardigan. It's bright yellow. It has palm trees on it. I don't know how I feel about this. Usually Ru is in a suit or something, and this looks like they just came in from the pool in Palm Springs. It might be the first outfit of RuPaul's I don't really love.
I knew it. I said, oh, wait.
But I hate change. That's me. It's like if Ru had been doing a Palm Springs cardigan every week, then I'd be like, oh, this is a cute one. But it was confusing to me.
It was something different. This is season 15, so I think that he's probably trying something different.
Or maybe drove in at a certain time, just grabbed something off the rack or was whatever.
You remember it was the quarantine season. And he did not have on makeup, so he had the outfit on.
And then he wore a mask, like a scuba mask or something. It was like, why? What are you doing?
So things happen during production, and so he adjusts, and you know,
I guess so. Can you remember how afraid we were of being contaminated during like the height of the pandemic? My husband used to like wipe down groceries.
Oh yeah. It was that serious. They call it he had a face kini on.
A face kini.
The pandemic gave us some wonderful jewels.
Yeah. I think that was a missed marketing opportunity. Buy your own RuPaul face kini.
Okay, so RuPaul comes in. He tells the queens that they're going to flash forward 50 years into the future so they can create 3 golden gal girl groups and so that he can watch them sing and dance their padded yet slightly saggy asses off.
Yeah, I love that they're switching up the girl group challenge. They have a girl group challenge every year. And it's really kind of like, you know, the year that I was judging on the show, it was the girl group challenge where they had to do 60s girl groups.
Oh, wow.
And they were divided into 3 groups, just like this one. And it's really a chance to see how they work as contributing to the group and how they stand out as individuals.
Oh, so they're going to have to look old. When I was on The Real, we did the Golden Girls and we actually dressed up, had the makeup. It takes a long time to make yourself look old because you have to
get
the lines. Well,
you, because you're a gorgeous black woman.
Oh, you're so
and
sweet.
And you're going to look this way until you're 80. No, all the melanin.
Like we were like, you're like, you think they're 27. I'm 62.
I'm 62 years old because I'm a black woman. So they broke down into 3 groups of 4. They had that fight about who was getting heavy metal and they pulled it out of the hat. And they have to write their own verses to one of the 3 golden oldies, a rock of ages anthem, a country ditty, or bop that puts the hip replacement in hip hop.
Which one would you have wanted?
I don't know. I maybe the country one. I would have been fine with the country one. I think there with the country one, there's just any opportunity to look stupid or act stupid. Mm-hmm. I think the country would be funny for me. What would you have picked?
Oh, the hip hop, of course.
I would have
loved the hip hop one.
Yeah,
there's so much that you can do with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they ended up having a little fight, and you know, they ended up winning just by pulling out, you know, a name out of the hat.
Right.
You know, like I was trying to say in my 15 seconds. Sometimes you just, if a person really wants something, I tend to let them go on and have it. And then
really?
That way, yeah, like go on, have it. It's a reason why you want to have it. Because I always look at, well, now I have a challenge.
Right.
And sometimes I look at that challenge as being something that I can even do better because this was something I didn't want to do.
Right.
And now I'm going to do it and I'm going to blow it out the water. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, which is what happened last year during the Moulin Rouge musical, Moulin Rouge, with Lady Camden and Bosco. They were both fighting over the lead and Bosco ended up doing it and then being in the bottom.
Wow.
It's like if you fight for something, you better be amazing.
You better know what you're fighting for. And sometimes we don't. So now before Rue leaves, he blesses us and them with the golden words of wisdom from the internet sensations, the old gays. Tell us about that.
I love the old gays. They appear a lot on, I think, is it BuzzFeed? Or it's they have these internet interviews.
On
TikTok with these older gay men, which I love because, you know, there's a lot of ageism in the gay community. We focus a lot on the exteriors. And a lot of the times, senior gays are left out of the discussion. Mm. And we have much to learn from them because this generation is standing on the shoulders of the older gays.
Yes.
Because of the lives that they lived, because of the chances that they took, because of their boldness, we are able to have something like RuPaul's Drag Race on the show. So they came out as the Pit Crew, and everybody was delighted to see them, and that was just a really lovely
moment.
It
was so
cute. They're
very
sweet.
Yeah. And the advice that they have, laugh a lot together. And I believe in that. I believe in laughter, and I just think, this is the thing. Okay.
What?
I'm having an issue with this season and the shortness of it. Just gotta say it.
You want more?
Well, no. Things are going too quickly, Alec.
Oh,
Like, for example, when we get to the fashion, it's so quick.
That's quick. You're right. Well, I'm hearing a lot of distress in your voice, and that distresses me. So immediately after this podcast, I'm writing a very strongly worded letter to World of Wonder and tell them you're upsetting Lonnie Love. Speaking of dresses, we have to mention your Golden Globes dress. That was incredible. That was so pretty. Lonnie was in a full length kind of, was it violet or light purple? Lavender.
Yes.
Beautiful, lavender. Glittery. You understood the assignment and you wore sneakers. You looked really comfy.
Well, this is the thing. I had my stylist because I said, okay, I love this gown, but I had to find, and this is thanks to my queens, the right type of shaper to wear up under it. Because without the right type of shaper, some type of corseted shaper, it would look, it looks a total different, it looks like, woo, what is happening? That is a violet burrito walking around.
Yeah, what's happening?
So I ended up finding this place in LA that all they sell are shapers. I'm not talking about Spanx. I'm talking about the real shapers.
So you were cinched to the gods. You were
But then, you know what? This is the thing, Alex. I had never like really worn one like that because I was afraid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they let you try on one. So she gave me like a 2X.
Why are we whispering? Are they in the room?
I don't know. I was just whispering. But she gave me a 2X and they're Hispanic ladies and they're really, really nice. Yeah. So she gave me the 2X and I was like, I can't fit this.
So did she loosen the laces and get you in there or did she go off the side?
She pulled me up and tugged it and I was like.
You were like Scarlett O'Hara.
That's how you do it. I did not realize that.
Yeah, you can't breathe. You can't breathe.
For a minute. And then I got scared because I said, well, I have to be in this for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So can you please, like, and so she gave me one size up. She gave me the 3X, which was super tight too. But she said, wear it out.
You've lost a lot of weight too. I've lost a lot of weight.
And but I didn't realize that you have to wear it out and it stretches out just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so when I put that and it brings you down a whole dress size.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally like, so when I put it on that dress, I was like, oh, I've been wearing the wrong undergarment.
Oh, there you go.
That's
now
what
it fit perfectly. It looked great.
And I had my stylist to add on the tooling. This is another thing. Thank you, Drag Race. I said I needed something on just because it was just the gown as the base, but I wanted something like a tail or a train or something like that.
Yeah.
And so she went out and she found the matching tooling and we just added it on as a cape and it was like, boom. So you can look at the dress on my Instagram. It's
so
there.
Beautiful.
It's but yeah.
She's
but
smiling even happened. Though she has four broken ribs. All right.
I'm learning a lot.
Back to the team challenge. There's three teams, Team Country, Team Hip Hop, and Team Metal. On Team Country, we have Selena S. Titties, Marsha, Mistress Isabel Brooks, and Lux Noir London.
Mm.
Team Hip Hop is Robin Fierce, Jax, Lucy LaDuca, and Anitra. And on Team Metal, we have Spice, Malaysia, Baby Doll Fox, Sasha Colby, and Aura Mayari.
Okay.
It was interesting to see who could sing. Like, the girl group challenges were like, who can really sing?
I was for Team Hip Hop because I figured Lucy LaDuca would do well.
Yeah.
And then I didn't understand why Mistress didn't want to do Team Country because she's from Texas.
She's from Texas.
So it just made sense because, I mean, she would have that Texas vibe. So
yeah,
I
she's always
you know.
Repping Texas. I mean, she's already come out in a cowgirl outfit already.
Right.
So, yeah,
so that I didn't understand why that was such a fight for that one.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I think sometimes, too, it's just that when, once people say, this is what we want, and then it's, you know, everybody's fighting back and forth. And, you know, it's just, okay.
Here's what this is the part I hate.
What?
That they have to rehearse in front of each other.
Yeah.
I think I know it's on purpose, but as a performer, I'd be like, get out of here. This
well, first
private.
They had to write the lyrics. And so they had to go with Leland, and Leland was coaching them with the different lyrics once we got the teams up.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that we knew, Lucy LaDuca, was everybody in the hip hop was going to be great. But then there was in Team Country, there was a little questioning of didn't know what to do.
Selena S. Titties was like all bent out of shape because like, I can't do country. It's like, just do your own version of it. Yeah. I mean, there's so many Latino country sounds, like the whole Tejano Selena sound was very country.
So if you get something that you don't know how to do, do you research it? What do you do?
Fake it. Make a big choice and put your shoulder behind it.
I sounds think that, like me when I was dating younger. I would fake it.
Wait. How much younger would you go where it's like, all right, stop. This is too young. Because now I'm at the age where it's like, okay, well, I'm married, but it's like when I first met my husband, he's 12 years younger than me. But over the years, we've closed the gap. I've aged him and now he's older than me. Being married to me for 20 years has been hard on his skin. It's just like he's so stressed out. I think like if you date somebody in their 20s, you're like, I'm not where you are right now.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially when I was in my 40s.
Yeah.
I was dating guys in my 20s. And I was only doing it for the sex, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I was trying to tell him, look, I'm dating you for your penis. Okay. Yeah.
That's I don't want breakfast. I don't want to spend the day with you. I'm not walking on the beach. Mm-mm. We're just fucking.
No. It's just, I mean, and you know what? And I don't know why a lot of times people feel like women aren't like that. And it's like, no, we are living in a liberated society, sexual society now.
You're that girl.
And well, in your 40s, it's something that happens to women.
This is not a new experience. I have a lot of experience. Get out.
It's something that I don't know if it's just the last hurrah or something that's happening, but it's just like, you know what? I don't know. But it's just like, you know what? You just need it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't explain it. Yeah. And it's like, you look at everything and you just go, oh my God, it would be great in bed. And so you do it and you get them. And then they are at a certain point, and that's when you have to stop. Because
isn't that the worst feeling when you do it with somebody and you're like, I want you to leave. I've been the person more times than not who somebody wanted to leave. Like,
what you doing for breakfast?
My favorite diner's near here. I feel I can really be myself around you. Okay, we digress. Talking about experience.
Well, you know, based on that, I'm a little hot. Let's take a break.
Oh, we're going to take a break? Okay, take a break. Yeah, while I lick my wounds from the past. We'll be right back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Okay, it's the workroom elimination day. Yes. Now, I love these moments because we get to find a little bit more about each queen. And this week, it was about Sasha. And Sasha was saying how grateful she was to be alive and trans. She knows and knew so many trans people who didn't get to live to 30.
Yeah. And she talked about a club in Hawaii, the Glades. That used to be raided every Friday in the 60s and 70s. The club featured drag, male, and trans performers. Sasha says all the trans performers had to wear buttons that said, I'm a boy, because it was illegal to trick military guys. Like, there were all these, I don't know, that's like the criminalization of all these trans women. Like, they're out to trick people. They would get locked up on Friday and released on Saturday just for being themselves.
I got really disturbed when I heard the word tricked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because come on.
Yeah, and like if you're a military guy going to see a show with drag queens and trans performers.
Exactly.
You're not there by accident. You know, it really kind of brought to light, I mean, the struggle for trans people is still ongoing. A lot of them feel, my sister works for UCSF in San Francisco, and every year they have a job fair that's opened up to the entire community. And they have a specific job fair for trans people. saying you're welcome here, because trans people in job interviews in the job market don't always feel welcome. They don't always feel like, oh, I have to come out. I have to, what if they're transphobic? So they're locked out of a lot of employment opportunities.
And this is a shame.
Yeah, and it's a shame. And you have somebody like Sasha Colby, who's so lovely and so smart and so talented. I love that she brought up the struggle that people go through.
I mean, she said, imagine if we got arrested every time we finished the stage on Drag Race. She got emotional talking about it in her interview. And she was saying how happy she was to be herself, which kind of goes back to the interview that I did with Emma Darcy. Emma identifies as non-binary. It's like we are in modern times now where people are identifying themselves, that people want to be themselves and they should be allowed to be themselves. And even in this day and age, because we live in this country that has so many different types of people and some places are a lot more segregated and conservative, you have people in there that can't be themselves. Right. And so that's the reason why we're happy that we continue to do Drag Race.
Yes.
With that, we're going to go to the main stage. RuPaul comes out.
I was a little shocked. I was a little shocked. This was a very, very short dress. It almost looked like a bikini. It was like a short silver dress that was glitter silver, and it had an asymmetrical hem. But the hem on one side went all the way up to the top of Ru's hip.
Yes.
So it was a silver mini dress, and she wore it with her platinum updo. Looked gorgeous. I like this better than the cardigan, to be honest.
I said, okay, we've got our Ru back.
Okay, yeah, she's back. And the guest star is Megan Stalter, who is on Hacks.
And very funny.
Yeah, very funny. Megan Stalter is a comic actress who became popular during the pandemic because she was doing all of these videos during the pandemic and they all went viral. She's very, very funny.
Very, very funny and quirky. We also had Michelle and Ross.
Yeah.
And it was the Shady Pines-a-palooza performance, which the order was Banjo Bitches.
The Banjo Bitches with Selena, Lundgren, Mistress, and Marsha. This was really funny, and I thought that they all did really well.
Yeah, and I told you, I said Mistress is from, it looked like she developed the costumes. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it came off really funny, really cute, campy.
And London could really sing.
Yeah.
London was very good, like a really good singer. I did not expect that.
Very, very good.
Yeah. I expected Marsha to sing because she's a Broadway person, but London was wonderful. Yeah. So next up, we have the Rockin' OGs. This is the team medal with Sasha, Aura, Malaysia, and Spice.
Sasha killed it. Mm-hmm. Sasha knows how to perform. Sasha was into it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them was just there.
This was a genre that allows you to kind of like be bigger. In a way that's appropriate. Because rock and roll is all about, it's so outsized and everything. I thought that they looked like a uniform group and it worked. It worked. But you're right. Sasha killed it. And finally, we have Old Dirty Bitches, Team Hip Hop with Lucy, Jax, Anitra, and Robin. All right. I just didn't, you know what it is? It's like the first two were so good that your expectations are ramped up. And I was watching this and I was like, this wasn't as good as I expected it to be.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out what, you know what happened? To me, they didn't play old enough.
Yeah.
They were so busy splitting and doing young dances.
Yeah.
Where you have to remember you're playing an OG. If you're an OG, you're not going to just instantly split. You could have made it funnier. They didn't emphasize the funny of, you know, being old.
Like you throw your back out after you're spinning on it, hip hop style, breakdancing style. Yeah, that was my one criticism of it. It's kind of like all the others kind of understood the assignment and were playing old ladies, and they were just kind of in old lady makeup, just doing all of the dances.
But I think Lucy did very well as far as with the singing.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, gravitated towards her performance.
Miss LaDuca.
Yeah. But the rest of them, they were just doing too many young things. And it's like, no, you're supposed to play it old and you're supposed to play it funny.
Old and funny. Like me.
And me.
So we go to tie-dye. I'm not a big fan of tie-dye. So I was wondering how this was going to come out.
Yeah, this was the runway.
Yeah, Anitra comes out first. I didn't necessarily think this was tie-dye. She was kind of in a glitter outfit. She did kind of a nude illusion bodysuit with a tied-on tie-dye skirt and kind of embellishments throughout the nude bodysuit and short white go-go boots. I didn't necessarily think this was tie-dye. I thought you looked great.
Well, I couldn't even see it because it was so quick.
So. It was too quick. Next out in the quick fire challenge was Jax. Jax came out in an orange bodysuit that had this weird kind of turtleneck. And over it, she had this kind of peekaboo thing over the bodysuit in green. Again, I didn't think it was... And it had a cutout in the middle of it.
So it was
orange and green.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you from... Orange Julius? Do you work in a Jamba Juice? Like, I didn't understand it.
Ross said that the orange bodysuit made her look like she was like Donald Trump. It just didn't, you know.
Yeah, it was orange. Know, and so. Her face didn't match it. I would like, when Jax comes onto this show, I want Jax to explain this to us.
Okay, definitely. Because I saw it for like 2 seconds and I was like, okay, it didn't catch my eye. It was so quick.
Next up in the short attention span runway is Lucy LaDuca, who came out in kind of like a dress silhouette, a short dress silhouette that had a shawl collar and it was in lavender. Not dissimilar to the color that you wore for the Golden Globes, and it had a tie-dye print all over it. Now, when I think tie-dye, I'm thinking like Cherry Garcia, you know, the kind of hippie tie-dye, and I could kind of see that here.
Yeah,
but
this was tie-dye. This was tie-dye. You would give it to her. Next, we had Robin Fierce.
Robin Fierce came out in a blonde wig and an asymmetrical, almost like handkerchief dress. It came down to her shin on one side and rose up above her thigh on the other. She had it belted with a dark purple belt, and it was a pretty dress. I like the colors.
And very pretty. The hair was laid for the gods. Very, very pretty, you know, and it was tie-dye. The material was the tie-dye type material, so it did tie into the theme.
Yes.
Next was Mistress Isabel Brooks.
Yes, and you know what? Trend alert, they were all doing shades of purple and lavender. Mistress Isabel Brooks came out in a nude lavender bodysuit.
Yes.
You know, she's all about, this is my body, take a look, it's fabulous. And her tie-dye was like almost like a long full-length train that was wrapped around her upper body.
Yes.
And her lower body was exposed.
Yes.
So there was like no panty or anything. So for a second, it looked like she was naked.
Yeah, because you only saw it for a second. But, you know, then we moved on.
Lonnie, how do you really feel? Next up, Lux Noir London. And if you blink, you missed her. Because this one also had a tie-dye short, short dress.
Beautiful, though.
Yeah, it was really, really beautiful. She had a bikini top, almost like a tube top as a skirt.
Yes.
Going across that was tie-dye. And then she had like feathers and stuff going down her leg. And she had these huge hoop earrings, which were beautiful. Next up, Selena S. Titties did a green wig with purple ends. I'd never seen anything like that. Her makeup is beautiful.
Beautiful.
She had an orange tie-dye, but the top was kind of layered, almost like an origami top that went off to the side. Orange belt in the middle, kind of a rust belt. And again, an asymmetrical hemline with it going down to her mid-thigh and coming up at her waist.
I want to say, last week, I've been saying, we want glamour from Selena S. Titties.
Yeah.
I think this is what I was talking about.
Her makeup is beautiful.
Her makeup is beautiful, but you can also see that she is adding her culture into this with the colors, with the way the makeup is tying in with the hair, with the earrings, with the whole outfit. This is what I was saying, is that present the culture within the fashion, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, and she did kind of like her wig looked almost like a little wet. Like
yes.
It has some moisture.
Yes,
a wet look. Next up, Marsha. Still committed to giving us as much Brady Bunch as possible. The very famous Brady Bunch episode where Marcia gets a football to the nose.
Yes.
Mom always told us not to play ball in the house. So this one, she did kind of another schoolgirl silhouette, which seems to be her thing. Now, I think she's in danger of repeating herself. She did a schoolgirl silhouette, but this one had like embellishments on it that looked like it was a nosebleed. Didn't seem really tie-dye. She had fabric blood coming out of her nose, which just looked like a chicken's thing. It looked like, you know, that red part of a chicken that hangs in the front.
I was wondering what was that.
It was a nosebleed. It was a fabric nosebleed. I'm not too crazy about this outfit, only because it's a silhouette she's done twice before, and it wasn't tie-dye.
So I don't understand why she gets a pass on this. But okay, Sasha Colby is next.
This is tie-dye.
Full tie-dye.
Full tie-dye. She did a full rainbow tie-dye bodysuit. Beautiful. And it covered her neck. So her body, she has body yaddy yaddy.
Yes.
I mean, and then she wore kind of this big frisbee hat that had like tie-dye dripping from it. So she looked like it was like a paint splatter hat. Oh. And coming down the runway, I was like, that's tie-dye. Yep. It's beautiful.
Definitely, you could see it.
But it was drag tie-dye, so it was shiny.
Definitely, you could see it.
Yeah.
Aura Maiari.
Aura Maiari came out in a black tie-dye jumpsuit. With kind of a Fraggle Rock hairdo.
Is that a suit? It's not a, it's a pantsuit, right?
It's a pantsuit. It's a pantsuit that had wide legs. She wore it with heels, shirtless underneath. And she had like her, she had a palm tree coming out of her head, but it was her hair with the tuft on top. I feel like I would have liked this better if it were a dress.
I liked it as a suit though.
I liked it as a suit. It was kind of like I would wear this tie-dye as a t-shirt. Again, I'm not a big tie-dye person.
Yeah, you're not a tie-dye person.
Are you?
Yeah, I'll wear it, you know, if it's free. I'll wear it. But
if it's free, I love free stuff.
Well, what I appreciate about this was that when we talk about even runway, how do we make it runway? How do we make it campy?
Right,
this could have been like dull, but then adding the palm tree hair. And
She styled it really well.
Right. It was
and
really
that
good.
Hair was unexpected. I didn't, you know, nobody expects anybody to come out with a palm tree hairdo.
Yeah.
Next up is Spice. And I did go on Twitter last week. I no longer have an account, but I wanted to see what the internet was saying about the season premiere, which, as it turns out, is their highest rated premiere to date. And it's like every year the show breaks the record. Like last year was the highest rated premiere. This one even surpassed that one. So people love Sugar and Spice. And we're really kind of, I think they have a lot of young fans who followed them to the show from TikTok.
Yes. And that's fine. Yeah. That's good. I told you, that's the reason why you got them on. So now, you know, that helps.
Spice came out in a blood red wig, very red. And she had a halter top, which was green, like almost a pistachio tie-dye that she paired with sleeves. So her shoulders were exposed and then her forearms and up to her bicep were covered. She had a tie-dye miniskirt in the same pistachio color, but this one was had a lace-up thing on the side, almost looking like a corset. Mm-hmm. Really cute. And of course, the signature platform shoes. I like this look, but a thing that the judges ask for each year is variety. And I get that they love Bratz dolls and dolls, but every single silhouette so far has been like a Bratz doll silhouette.
Yeah, you haven't seen like a major gown.
A gown. I want to see a gown on these girls.
I will say, I will say that I think Spice, now that Sugar is gone, is really coming into their own.
Me too.
And you can see it now with the groups that talking is gone. All that, you know, just blabbing and, and trying to. And now I feel I see a different type of Spice now.
Yeah, so. Like with Sugar in the room, they kind of feed off each other's energy. And they kind of like, blah, 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 blah. But with a Sugar gone, Spice is more kind of like reading the room and adjusting in order to accommodate the personalities of everybody else in the room.
And you are right. We need to see a gown. We need to see
a gown.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Last was Malaysia Baby Doll Fox.
Baby Doll Fox had a two-part tie-dye with this kind of like flower skirt that was like rainbow sherbet. And it was like almost like tie-dye flowers. And in the middle of it was like a bright pink Pepto-Bismol corset type top with an updo. that was like a blonde updo, mm-hmm. like a blonde beehive. Malaysia is all about the glamour.
Yes.
It seems like she's a real glamour queen. Like almost every gown that she brings to the runway is like formal wear.
Definitely. Okay, who were the bottom two?
Okay, the bottom two, or the bottom three were Anitra, Jax, and Robin Fierce. Michelle said that Anitra forgot her words a lot. And I think that the criticism of Jax and Robin Fierce was they both kind of disappeared and weren't really standouts in the girl group.
Well, Robin said that she's been, it was Michelle that said, mm-hmm. you're being safe. And then that's when Robin had to agree. And she was being safe because she thought that, you know, that was her strategy. But
right.
that's the wrong strategy. And that's when RuPaul said, no, this is a competition. You got to yeah. bring your all to it. You cannot be safe.
Episode.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. So ended up the bottom two was Jax and Robin Fierce. They did a mm-hmm. lip sync in your room by the Bangles.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think about the lip sync?
I love that song. I love that song. And I thought they both did a really good job. It was unusual for them to do a Bangles song.
Jax killed it. Jax was doing the splits, was doing
yeah.
that. I mean, that's when this whole, you know, because I was wondering when Jax told us
yeah.
a lot of the cartwheels and all
yeah.
this other kind of stuff. And Jax even said, I love you, Robin, but I got to save myself.
But you're going home. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a person who made their debut on Drag Race doing jump rope with their own hair. So she had to bring it. She brought it. And Jax won the lip sync. And Robin Fierce was sent home. Her exit line was, darling, win with a smile and lose with a smile. And baby, she's still winning.
And the winner of the overall challenge was
Aura Mayari. Aura Mayari won the challenge. I thought she was good. But I think that and this is an Asian on Asian crime here because
Uh-oh.
She's my Filipino sister.
Uh-oh.
But Sasha Colby, I thought, really kind of did an amazing job.
I thought Sasha did mm-hmm. too. And I thought that Lucy LaDuca did good. I don't know. It's something about the way Lucy was handling
Lucy
herself.
LaDuca.
But Aura won $5,000. And
yes.
Robin went home.
It's hard to come up with. I think the one person that did the most memorable exit line was Miss Vanjie. She was so memorable that they brought her back again. You know? Miss Vanjie.
Did they do that last season?
Miss Vanjie. No, on her very first season, she was the very first person to be voted off. And so for the rest of the season, everybody said, Vanjie, Vanjie. And so she kind of like was so memorable that they decided to bring her back.
What would be your exit line?
What would be my exit line? This is bullshit. This is rigged.
I'm like, bring it back.
Your exit line would be, the runways are too short.
I done spent all this money,
yeah.
and y'all gonna let me go in the first episode? Fuck you bitches.
And then talk nonstop. And then like go off stage and keep screaming so that people can hear you.
Oh, I would show out.
Yeah.
You remember on American Idol when people didn't make it? And they
yes.
would just go off.
Like, yes.
You gonna see. I'm gonna
yeah.
make it. Oh, fuck all y'alls.
I know. And it was always the most delusional person. It was always like somebody who like was so awful. Oh my God. Well, we do have to take a break, but don't go anywhere because when we come back, one of the 37 Connecticut queens from this season joins us. Amethyst is here.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. We've got a great guest today, Squirrel Friends. She's the Connecticut queen who made it crystal clear she was ready for the game of Drag Race. And hey, she may not have found her baby, but we're glad she found her way here. Will you please welcome to the program, Amethyst!
Amethyst!
You're making me laugh already. I'm so excited.
Oh my goodness. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. I still haven't found my baby though.
Aww.
I actually know where it is. One of my season 15 sisters has him.
Oh really? Yeah. You left the baby behind?
I left the baby behind. I was not a good mother, let's be honest.
Oh dear. Yep.
You know what I like about you, Amethyst, is that you automatically made yourself the comedy queen. What's been one of your favorite memories of doing Drag Race this season?
Honestly, I'm going to surprise myself here, and I'm going to say Snatch Game. Because it was the scariest, but it was, I had so much fun. And I was not expecting to have as much fun as I did.
Right. And I think that's why you did well. Everything that you did on your thing, you pretty much nailed it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
What was going through your mind when you realized there were so many people from Connecticut? Were they your next door neighbors? Were you like, oh, it's you. You followed me here.
I mean, we're all next door neighbors. It's Connecticut. Like, it's so small. But I work with them both so closely and so often. It was like, I still can't believe that all three of us got on the same season.
Did you guys know before you got there that you all had booked Drag Race?
I might have heard a rumor about one of them, but I never like checked in on it. Because I wanted it to be a surprise. And then the other one was just like, genuine surprise.
So how are you handling it? We've talked to so many queens, this show really kind of shoots you out of a cannon and into the social media stratosphere.
Overnight.
So how's it been for you since being on the show and being introduced to America?
I think I'm doing okay. I've definitely had my moments where, you know, Amethyst put the phone down, like, take a break, go touch some grass, go do something, smoke some grass, I don't know. But it's been a lot, but it's. I think it's all about taking it in moderation and taking things one day at a time. And, you know, I'm new at this. You know, you can't just be, as much as the show wants to put it on you, you can't just become a celebrity overnight. You know, I'm learning here and there, and I'm picking up things left and right. But it's definitely an adjustment.
You know, I think that the best thing to do, and I always tell this to people, is to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. One thing that I loved during your time on Drag Race was Rue and Michelle praising your nose. That was such a great moment. Can you talk about that a little more?
I cried when I got home in my hotel room that night.
Really?
It was such a moment for me. I don't know where it came from. It was probably, I mean, most of it is probably, you know, we're so tired that like emotions, they just like come at the drop of a hat. But because I wasn't expecting that at all. You know, I was just expecting the critiques on purely my performance in the challenge. And, you know, when Michelle brought that up, I was like, oh no, I don't like where this is going. Like, I thought they were going to be like mean about it or like, you know, you really got to slim that up. And then it just went in the complete opposite direction. So maybe that's why I was so like overcome with emotion that like, I wasn't prepared for what they were going to say. And I just, I was so happy.
Yeah. It sounds as if it was a surprise to you, but I think that so much about this show is really about like, what sets you apart? What makes you different? You know?
And maybe that was my light bulb moment. And I was like, oh my God, because I mean, let's be honest, like I haven't been in a lot of situations where like, that's what people compliment me on.
Right.
I just, you know, I think we can still, I've come a long way with the nose, but I think you can still see that my insecurity is still kind of sitting at the surface.
Oh, I always think about that Barbra Streisand silhouette, that famous portrait where her hair is swept up and she's just kind of like in that black velvet dress, kind of like at the end of Funny Girl, and she's just looking off to the side, and she's so exquisitely beautiful and because she's like embraced her difference. And I think I would love to see that happen for you, because when you came out as Gaga, you looked terrific.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
With the nose that you have, it worked. It was wonderful.
Thank you so much. And I definitely took the critique that week. And I guess it just kind of paid off, because it was like, it just kind of fell hand in hand. I was like already going to like go a little easier on the nose contour that week anyway. And then it ended up being my Gaga week. And I was like, oh, this worked out perfectly.
Oh,
you know?
Was there anything that surprised you about Drag Race? I mean, how did you prepare for it? Can you talk about that?
You can only do so much to prepare, I feel like. And, you know, I'm still coming up in the drag scene. Also, representing one of the first Connecticut queens, like, there was nobody I could go to around here to be like, hey, how was your experience on the show? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the New York City girls or the LA girls can call each other up and go, walk me through this.
Yeah, because that would have been absolutely amazing if I had that. But I just had my really close friends help me out. I don't know. I did the best that I could.
Well, you talked about on the show, you've been doing this for a relatively short time. So can you tell us a little bit? Can you tell our Squirrel Friends about the beginning of your drag journey? Because there's a lot of baby drag queens who listen to Squirrel Friends who want to know how to get a start.
Yes. I mean, you know, I started through theater, as most gay boys will tell
you.
You're
a theater kid.
You know, I just had like a huge knack for performing, and I love making people laugh and I love making them smile. I love singing. I love dancing. And then I want to say it all just kind of started when I decided to pick up a makeup brush one day and started playing around with that. I remember doing like a lot of like, you know, this was like the era of James Charles when he was coming to his
height.
So I was like, let me do some cute boy looks. And then that eventually turned into like, let me get a wig. And then I planned out my first performance. I don't know. I just had like a vision one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to make a performance out of this. It involved, you know, those like little tiny hands that you can buy on like Amazon that you stick on your fingers.
Sure. Like the kind that Kristen Wiig wore.
Yes. Yes.
Like SNL.
Very Junice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was like my first drag number that I ever did.
What was the song?
I did Touch My Body by Mariah Carey, obviously.
With tiny little hands. That's awesome.
So I had like the Junice hands, which are kind of like sticks. And then there was a reveal halfway through. I dropped the sticks and then I poked my hands through my sleeves. And then I have like the tiny ones that go on your fingers.
Oh, hilarious.
I love it.
Does the baby number make more sense now?
It makes a lot of sense now. Thank you. This is what we needed, comedy queen. What can we expect from Amethyst next?
So something that wasn't really highlighted on the show that I wish was I write, record, produce, mix, and master my own original music. It's across all streaming platforms. I put out my first mixtape like last year, which was like my first time like committing to like a 10-track project and like coming up with like a concept for it. And then I recently put out an album called Wannabe Pop Star in December.
Wow.
But when, you know, when I'm not, I can't say when I'm not doing drag, because the music has become such a big part of my drag, and the music started before.
Yeah, I was about to ask. You're incorporating it into your act.
Absolutely. And that's why I wish I got to showcase it more on the show, because I started writing music when I was like 14 and Amethyst didn't come along until I was like 26, you know, or 25.
Yeah, we didn't know that part about you at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I call myself the pop star of Connecticut. I didn't just say that for ha-has, you know. I really try and be the pop star of Connecticut. But yeah, music was something I definitely wanted to integrate into my drag to kind of set me apart from all the other comedy queens, all the other dancing queens, and all the, you know?
Right. You have to find that thing that sets you apart. And I always feel like, we always ask every queen this, I feel like drag is a superpower. And it's like a superhero identity. It's like, what, you know, Diana Prince turns into Wonder Woman. What would your drag superpower be?
Songstress or something like that. I don't know. Because like, I was just going to say, like, I know music in drag queens, like, it's not unheard of. Pretty much every drag queen at this point or every Rue girl has their own single or like some kind of song that they've put out. But I think mine just kind of goes beyond that. Like, I go for the projects. Like, I want full album length concepts. I write about breakups. I write about falling in love, falling out of love, all that good stuff.
Mm.
And then I also have my songs about being a slut and twerking. And, you know, so
you like,
I have your audience.
You have to have the drag staples, but also, I love a good breakup song. I love a good breakup bop.
Mm,
you know, Amethyst, I think that you were let go way too soon. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the issue that got you eliminated so soon?
I was very in my head. And I, at the time, I was really devastated with my placement. But now that I have been able to reflect and take the time to look back and physically watch it back now, I can see how far deep I was in my head. and I can kind of see it. And I can see the exact moment that it happened during my very first week during the critiques. And I just think that's where it all kind of started. Like, girl, you're not funny.
What am I doing here? When you get in your head.
Where are the singing challenges? And I was like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I was already like so insecure because I think next to Marsha, I was the youngest and most inexperienced queen.
Right.
With, you know, and then there's that whole moment of we're all unpacking, we're hanging up our runways on our stations. And I definitely had a moment of looking around and I'm like, why am I here? What's going on?
Yeah. It's compare and despair. It will always get you in trouble. It happens to us at like, you know, at television auditions when a movie star comes in and it's like, oh shit, what are you seeing me for?
Yeah.
But you know, it's so much of this, so much of Drag Race is about getting out of your head and really concentrating on your strengths. And also we've learned from past seasons that you don't need to win to have a career.
Right.
Shangela just sold out the Wiltern last night here in LA. So we wish you so much luck.
Well, thank you.
We're trying to change the culture of social media here on the show because there's all that controversy right now about Mistress Isabel's Instagram being shut down by the trolls and everything. So we want everybody to show the queens love on their social medias. Where can we find you on your social media?
I believe it's That's So Amethyst on all platforms, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. That's So Amethyst.
And you know, Amethyst, this is just the start when it comes to the RuPaul Drag Race family, because you still have All Stars. You have so many other opportunities within, you know, the Squirrel Friends family. So, and you know what? We think that you and Robin should do a dating show on MTV.
Second chances.
Hey, we got those MTV connections now.
Yeah.
You know what, Lonnie? I'm going to call her right after I hang up with y'all.
Do it.
Do that. Do it.
Okay. Well, we wish you so much luck. And listen, your talent got you here in a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only up from here on out. Now that you have your wings, you can fly. And thank you so much for doing the show today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Bye, sweetie.
Thank you, baby.
Bye-bye,
thank
you. Honey.
Bye.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back from the break. I gotta give a shout out to some great listeners. Wellington, who posts our socials every
all the
week
time
on the Instagram. And also my friend Amy Hill, who's currently on Magnum PI shooting in Hawaii.
Oh.
She goes from her house to the north shore of the island to set every morning and listens to Squirrel Friends.
Oh, wow.
Every week. So
that's
thank
so
you,
sweet.
Amy Hill.
Yeah. And they put I guess we have a commercial on TV.
We
so
do. We do. We're on MTV, finally.
They put a commercial. You know what? Remember, what we're doing, Squirrel Friends, is fun. But please, tip the queens.
Yeah.
Go on socials, find their IGs, and be nice to them. Give them some encouraging words.
Yeah, and be nice to them and show them love, especially now. Well, the country's so divided and the LGBTQ community being demonized by everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we're really up against it. So show them love and don't forget to tweet or DM us if you have questions or hot takes for the queens. You can find Lonnie at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram and at Lonnie Love on Twitter. And I only have one social. It's at Alec Mappa on Instagram. I now have almost 36,000 followers.
I am so proud of you.
I'm catching up, Lonnie.
You
know,
are you on Facebook?
Yeah, but I'm hardly ever on Facebook anymore. I feel like Facebook has become MySpace. Are
but
you on
you
the Facebook?
You can link your Instagram with your Facebook. And
I have a public Facebook page, so you can like leave me a message there.
No, okay.
But I will check my DMs quicker on Instagram.
All right. Well, you can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us 5 stars, please, and tell everyone you've ever met.
Watch all new episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15 every Friday on MTV.
We'll be back next time for an all new episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
See you soon.
Bye.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.